This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I was a little confused because I saw the president, the current president, the guy we haven't really heard from for very long, give a little message in front of the White House today, and he seemed rather lucid.
I know it's a difficult time. You're hurting. I hear you and I see you. But don't forget. Don't forget all that we accomplished. It's been a historic presidency. Not because I'm president, because what we've done, what you've done, a presidency for all Americans.
Now, look, if you're watching on the cameras right now on the X, formerly Twitter, or on the 97.1 FM Talk YouTube channel, you would have seen me laugh right there. Do you know why I laughed, Sue?
Well, he sounds exactly like Dana Carvey's impression.
Thank you. That's exactly why. Because I cannot hear him now.
Yes.
Same thing with Tim Walz. By the way, this is another thing that I said on Twitter today. You know, I know that we're a very divided country by evidence of the fact what happened this week and all the Nazi talk. But can we at least come together in the aftermath of Tuesday and agree that Tim Walz is a big doofus?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't even win his home county.
He didn't even win his home county.
How about that?
Holy Toledo.
Jeff Mordock is back with us here this afternoon. He's the White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, how are you post-election day?
I am doing great. I am working on a tremendous lack of sleep, so go easy on me. But other than that, I'm doing great.
Join the club, right? Yeah. Yesterday, I was just fueled on donuts and adrenaline. Today, I'm struggling just a little bit as well. Well, what happened? Was there anything of significance today? Were you in the briefing room? Because KJ Peach took some questions, didn't she?
She took some questions, but we really didn't get an answer to most things. It was just she's going to leave it to other people to dissect the president's role in whether or not that doomed the Harris campaign. And I think there's no doubt it was an albatross. But honestly, from what I've seen and what we've looked at from exit polling, it seems like her failure to address inflation, as well as belittle people's concerns about inflation by trotting out millionaire singers to tell them the economy's not so bad, I think had more of an impact on dooming her campaign than anything else.
You know, it's interesting because I've heard a lot of discussion about it doesn't seem, and they do this all the time with the celebrity endorsements, and you know, you got Queen Latifah and maybe people who haven't gotten involved in politics before. Yeah, if that was their path to victory, it didn't work very well. Now, maybe if you had a better candidate, it would have. Maybe if the economy wasn't, you know, exactly the way it is right now. But Jeff, look, it happens every election cycle, doesn't ever seem to help the other party.
No, but I feel like this time we've officially killed the celebrity endorsement.
We might have. We absolutely might have. What do you know at this point about transition?
Right now, we don't know much. Both campaigns are still in the early stages.
Hang on a second there, Jeff. I don't know what just happened there, Ethan. I just had a... somehow the other line lit up on me. Let me see if I can get rid of that real quick. I don't think I can. Drop? There. No. I think... There we go. Jeff, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, I had a... I don't know if you could hear the phone line, but somehow I pressed a button and it wasn't very good. Go ahead. I didn't hear what you said.
We don't know much. Right now, where we are is the preliminary stages where the Trump campaign and the Biden White House are trying to set up times to talk, to go over things, to hand over things. So right now, it's they're still in the stages of setting up a transition. There's very little movement on either front.
Yeah, and then what is, you know, obviously the message that Biden had today is peaceful transition, et cetera. I can play a little bit more audio. He says, talk to Trump.
Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition.
Jeff Mordock, do you have a sense of what the Democratic awareness level is right now, that the message that was sent by the American people, or is that a little bit too early because a lot of these folks aren't even in Washington?
I think it's a little too early because a lot of these folks aren't even in Washington. But the ones that I've talked to, they go back to two things. They go back to the albatross that Joe Biden was, and they go back to her failure to address inflation. But also, I think there's other things. You know, we're starting to see county chairs come out in major cities say they never heard anything from the Harris campaign. That, you know, they asked for resources and they were ignored. The Philadelphia Democratic county chair said he never even spoke to Kamala Harris during the entire campaign. And it seems to me that that just goes back to what this campaign was. It was a campaign that collapsed under its own elitism and condescension.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, and again, I've seen quite a bit of the blame game that's kind of going on right now, and that's going to continue. You look, Jonathan Martin's got a good report in Politico today. The Harris team's kind of going after Biden. The Biden team's kind of going after Harris and vice versa. So that's going to be a little ugly for a while, I think.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to go on for a very long time. And, you know, to some degree, I mean, both sides have a point. You know, you look at what Biden did. I mean, he overshadowed her big speech with the garbage comment. He did not drop out of the race. But also, you've got these people in the Biden administration who want to keep their jobs, and they covered up the condition that he was in. And then they got exposed in the campaign, and now they're scrambling. Then they started to scramble. And I can understand this goes back to the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party has not had a real primary in 16 years. There's never been, it's been so long since there's been a healthy competition and healthy jockeying for being the presidential nominee. I think they've forgotten how to do it, and I think that's put them out of touch with the American people.
For a guy like you, Jeff, this is going to be, I mean, it always is fascinating, but this is going to be real interesting because I think that it would be fair to say at this point that this is going to be a very different, you know, administration than the first Trump administration. You got people like Elon and, you know, Vivek involved and a whole cast of characters that will become a part of fixing the problems in America that we did not have before. And they're not all, this is what makes it unique. And I think that the folks in D.C. don't like this very much, but these are not political people, right? These are not elected officials, if you will. These are just regular, successful Americans.
That's correct. And that's, you know, and that's what President-elect Trump does. Is he brings in business. He avoids the career politicians, the career bureaucrats. He kind of did a little bit in his first administration, but now that he has the experience of governing, he can sort of eschew those people and bring in the people that have achieved success on their own through their own hard work and determination.
Well, Jeff, I know it's been a long week. I know you're sleep deprived like a lot of us, but I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon on 97.1 FM talking. Good luck with the rest of the week.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. I wanted to get to, you know, here I am. I'm on my iPad in front of me, and there's things that I try to pull up throughout the course of the day. And then when I tried to pull them up again, I'm meeting the paywall, which kind of annoys me. But I'm going to try to get some screen captures of what I was going to play. But I like this. There's a bunch of audio. You know, I can play some of the crazy lefties, and we can have fun with that. We'll certainly do that throughout the course of the show and get back into it for audio cut of the day. But this is a Democrat strategist by the name of Julie Roginski. I've heard of her before. I don't know much about her. But she was on, I think this might have been MSNBC, breaking down some of the problems. Now, again, in the aftermath of a disastrous election, Republicans have to look at it also. What went wrong? Throughout the course of the last few months, believe me, Democrats knew that the warning signs were there. They saw some of the internal polling. They couldn't have been completely shocked by what happened like the rest of their supporters, because I think their supporters were rather shocked. But she gave some tough medicine today.
No, I'm going to speak some hard truths to my friends in the Democratic Party. This is not Joe Biden's fault. It's not Kamala Harris's fault. It's not Barack Obama's fault. It is the fault of the Democratic Party in not knowing how to communicate effectively to voters. We are not the party of common sense, which is the message that voters sent to us. For a number of reasons. For a number of reasons, we don't know how to speak to voters.
So she's going to get into some of the specifics. They'll resonate with many of you who are listening right now. And she's right about all this. But I just don't think, you know, the late night comedians don't get it. I think a lot of the folks on the Democrat side, certainly the voters, don't understand how identity politics does play a role in turning people off. I mean, the one column that I just tried to come up with here was Jonathan Martin's, because his column today in Politico was excellent. And J. Mart is a guest on this show. He's become a friend. I think he's a straight shooter when it comes to the world of politics. Used to be at the New York Times. Is that Politico right now? Look, does he lean to the left? Eventually, probably, but he doesn't really show it in his reporting. And one of the things that he was talking about is the damage that was inflicted not only by Kamala when she went on The View and said, I don't think I'd do anything differently, but by the trans ad in particular getting repeated over and over and over again. But if that wasn't there, there were going to be other ads and other opportunities to kind of go after her on some of the culture issues, and they resonated. And Julie brings this up.
We address Latino voters as Latinx, for instance, because that's the politically correct thing to do. It makes them think that we don't even live on the same planet as they do.
This is such an important point. And the LA Times made this editorial decision, I don't know when it was, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, where they have a reference to Hispanic people as, I say, Latinx. I don't even know what the hell it is. It's so ridiculous because of transgender people. Apparently, there's so many Hispanics that are transgender that they need their own label, especially during the month of November, which is Transgender Awareness Month. And ladies and gentlemen, thank God we have this month, because it would never, ever be on our radar. But it's such an insulting term, and you know who hates it? Hispanics. They don't like it at all, but they keep using it. And AOC and the progressives, you know, people like Tish here in St. Louis, they think it's appropriate, even though the constituency to which they are preaching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
She hates it, and they're insulted by it. I wonder if they'll stop using that, because they got to know at this point.
When we are too afraid to say that, hey, college kids, if you're trashing a campus at Columbia University because you're unhappy about some sort of policy and you're taking over a university and you're trashing it and preventing other students from learning, that is unacceptable. But we're so worried about alienating one or another cohort in our coalition that we don't know what to say when normal people look at that and say, wait a second, I send my kids to college so they can learn, not so that they can burn buildings and trash lawns, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. But they were unwilling. Look, this White House, this guy, Joe Biden, he was unwilling in the spring to condemn that. Let's remember that. You know, a lot of us do. It was never covered by the legacy media. Did the legacy media pressure the White House? Did they try to get comments about that? No, they didn't, because they're in the tank, too. And they have all these little interns and editors who are 20-somethings, who are brainwashed, indoctrinated, and they hate the country. So that's why they do the type of journalism that they do.
So on and so forth. When we put pronouns after names she, her, as opposed to saying, you know what, if I call you by the wrong pronoun, call me out. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. But stop with the virtue signaling and just speak to people like they're normal.
Are you listening, folks in Webster Groves? Because that's who they're talking about, right? Those of you who live on Elm and Webster Groves, I always like to use that reference there. And, you know, Julie used the word common sense. Trump used the word common sense. Some of this, I honestly, and I know that those of you listening right now are frustrated too. How can anyone disagree with that? I mean, unless you're completely in the tank with purple hair and a nose ring, and you don't know if you're a boy or a girl, then you might not agree with that. But for rest of the people, even if you're a little in the tank on the left, you'd have to understand that that problem is there. Bill Maher's been preaching about it for a long time. Some other people, you have this disconnect. Now, I'm smart enough to recognize that our friends like Steve Butts, who will be on the roundtable tomorrow, and Jane, they don't like this stuff either. But here's the difference. Say something. Challenge your party. Tell them how stupid it is to use pronouns. If there was one thing, and I'm kind of joking about this, but look, if there's an executive order that you can have to ban that stupidity that journalists, so-called journalists like what's her name, Rebecca Lee at Channel 5 and the other virtue signalers have to put it at the top of their page so that we know as an audience member of KSDK exactly where they are on the alphabet mafia thing, right? Oh, she, her, thank God that I knew that, because you look like a woman. I wasn't exactly sure if you had a penis, so you had to tell me she, her. It's embarrassing, but they do it because it makes them feel good and they're virtue signaling and they're not offending their gay and lesbian friends, even though what they don't know is their gay and lesbian friends hate it too, because they're sick of the trans stuff. They're tired of it. That's part of my favorite narrative with all that, that all the white, straight virtue signalers don't understand that the gay people can't stand this stuff either.
We need to start being the party of common sense again. Joe Biden is not responsible for that. Neither is Kamala Harris. It is a problem that Democrats have had for years. I've been banging the drum on this for, I don't know how, probably 10 years, if not longer on this. We need to get back to being the party of common sense, that people look at us and say, we understand you. We appreciate what you say because you speak our language. And until we do that, we should stop blaming other people for our own mistakes.
You know, that was on MSNBC, and Julie's absolutely right about that, but they won't take that to heart, thank God. The Republicans own all those issues right now. God bless America.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.